Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Aaron Connaughton, Undersecretary of the United States Air Force. So, Aaron, I have the pleasure to talk to most of my guests about the power of collaboration and the importance of partnerships. How is the Air Force leveraging collaboration and partnerships to improve management outcomes?
We're doing it in a variety of ways. I think about our partnership on three levels. One is inside the Department of Defense because the Air Force, compared to most federal agencies, is already big enough, and then we're within this massive organization called the Department of Defense, the interagency, and then our industry partners. And there's a huge amount of collaboration cross services and between the Office of Secretary of Defense and each of the military departments. We actively try to find lessons learned and ways to work together that is more efficient but also provides a better outcome. So some of that's, you know, the excellent leadership that exists across the department, and some of it is just that organizations are getting more used to working more closely together. In terms of the interagency, we do a fair amount of work with folks like the FAA on airspace management issues here in the United States. I personally do most of my interagency work on space issues. So huge amount of collaboration with the National Reconnaissance Office, with NASA, and to a lesser extent with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, because of our weather work. Our industry partnership is really critical. You know, the chief management officer side of the house maintains a robust dialogue with a lot of industrial leaders so that in areas like logistics and other things, we're not recreating the wheel, but we're trying to learn from perhaps what other large organizations have had to face over the, you know, the last period of years.
Aaron, if we accept that we've moved from a world of bipolar threats to asymmetrical threats to God knows what tomorrow, and that's what's a bit of a loaded question, do you think the Air Force is structured properly at the Secretariat headquarters level to meet not only today's threats, but perhaps the unknowns of tomorrow? And with that, the skill set of the personnel that exists, the staff and you know, at all across, you know, the board, do you think that they possess the requisite skills? And if not, what are we doing? What are you doing to ensure that gap does not grow significantly?
Well, if I think about the headquarters piece first, I would say, you know, we're never finished evolving. There's, you know, you have to be a learning organization and sort of see how things change over time. You know, if you went back to 2007, say, before we put this emphasis on our nuclear work, we didn't have an office on the air staff that was 100% dedicated to the nuclear enterprise. We didn't have a command that was 100% dedicated to that. We've consolidated the work that our chief information officer does with the work in command and control that's given traditionally to a senior officer on the air staff. So we have a very senior officer, Lieutenant General Bill Lord, who's dual-hatted as what we call our A6, which is, you know, has responsibility for communications and the like, as well as our chief information officer. Now, we're blessed in the Air Force that we have a very tight alignment of our secretariat and our air staff. And for folks listening who are perhaps not as familiar with the Defense Department, the military departments have a secretariat sort of led by the secretary, sort of the civilian side of the house, and then a uniform staff that supports the chief of staff, in this case of the Air Force. Our secretary and chief have set a tremendous example, and we've got, I'm told, the closest interaction between those two sides of the house that folks have seen in their memory, which really puts us well ahead of the game in terms of just focusing on problems and working them rather than deconflicting, you know, who's doing what to whom. I'm not saying that never happens, but we have managed to minimize those kind of opportunities. As we dealt with the reductions in the dollars available for civilian growth, we had to look at where to put resources within the headquarters. And so we're doing a very careful scrub, not only of support positions that might be able to be eliminated, but looking at whether there are different combinations of offices that could be combined and still be effective. And that work's not done yet, but we're continuing to look at that. The other thing, and I'll, you know, praise my boss for his vision on this, is we're looking at combining the personnel systems that support our active duty, our reserve, Air Force Reserve, and our National Guard. Right now, they're three completely separate systems, and the challenge challenge that people have when they move from one organization to another, which many people do, is that it's easy for them to sort of fall off for a period of time and perhaps have a gap in pay before the other system picks them up. And so he's moving us to a, he calls it 3-to-1, so 3 personnel systems down to 1, which we think is going to be really wonderful for our airmen. In terms of the skills that we have, I guess I'd just mention 2 things. The Air Force is a very technically sophisticated service, and we need a lot of folks who have so-called, you know, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, the so-called STEM capabilities. And so we are working hard to encourage young people to get into this area. I am, and others of my colleagues are mentoring high school students who go to a technical high school here in Washington, D.C., who are thinking about pursuing a college career in this area, partly to, you know, to encourage them as young men and women generally, but also to encourage those who might think about a future in one of the more technical fields. We are really in need of ensuring that that best science and engineering talent continues to come into the United States Air Force. The other thing I would say, and this is certainly true in the business space, that those of us who have served in government most of our career don't always have the industry experience that would allow us to see some of the business problems in the most complete light. And so we do make use of what we call highly qualified experts, you know, folks who come with a great business background or a great technical background and make use of them for a period of time that they're willing to offer us. And as we evolve our business systems, that's been pretty important to us.
Aaron, I'd like to turn to the future. Put your crystal ball up, if you will. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges you think the Air Force will face in the future, and how do you think it will evolve to meet those challenges?
Yeah, it's a big question. I mean, obviously, the biggest challenge for us is the budgetary situation in which we find ourselves. And what's very helpful is that the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs have laid out this very clear strategic vision. So it provides us a roadmap, even though the choices are going to be very painful, for how to prioritize. But, you know, as I say to folks when I go around, and I've had the opportunity to travel to a large number of Air Force installations, I remind them that this is an exciting time. I mean, this is a time when you have an inflection point like this, where you're coming out of a conflict, as we are, and as your budgetary situation changes, yes, it's a time of great stress, but it's also an opportunity to put ideas on the table that maybe you couldn't have put on the table 2 years ago. So I think that some of the opportunity for us as leaders is to encourage innovative thinking and to have people recognize that this is an exciting time to serve. It's not, it shouldn't be a period of dread for federal service. I mean, as I say to folks, you know, yes, it's difficult, but you're putting your fingers on the future of the United States Air Force for the next 30 years by the things that we're doing in these coming budget cycles. So I try to be a glass half full kind of person.
That's actually a good segue, because I want to get what is some advice you would give to somebody who's thinking about a career in public service?
I would say absolutely do it. I don't think there is any more rewarding career than the work that we do here in government, which is not to say anything negative about our partners in industry and elsewhere, but it is a really rewarding job, particularly in the Department of Defense, because you know every day that what you're doing is supporting real men and women in a real fight and their families. And I find that to be a really easy thing to get up out of bed and do in the morning. And, you know, probably the most inspiring places that I've been in the 2 years I've been on the job is out to the Air Force Academy and down to our basic military training graduation down at Lackland Air Force Base. I was given the opportunity to swear in a group of newly enlisting airmen, and It'll bring tears to your eyes. I mean, just the quality of people who know that they're joining the military at a time when they are likely to be deployed, are likely to face stretches of time away from their families, and are likely to be under, you know, tremendous stress, and they voluntarily choose to do this. It's just awe-inspiring. And so, you know, for folks out there who would think about joining our civilian ranks, as I said earlier, we couldn't do what we do without our civilian workforce. I frequently say to folks, the nature of the military system is that our uniformed officers and our non-commissioned officers rotate through jobs every 2 years, 2 to 3 years. People like myself who are political appointees, we are temporary by nature. We're there for some period of years, but no longer than 8, certainly. It's really our civilian workforce that's the continuity. They're the ones who not only help us build the policies, but execute them. Mm-hmm. And without, you know, that excellence that we are blessed to have in the federal workforce, we couldn't do what we do for the guys who are in harm's way. So anybody who's thinking about it, I say, come join us, please.
Aaron, I want to thank you for your time today, but more importantly, John and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John, and thanks, Michael. This has just been a wonderful opportunity. I thank your listeners for giving me an ear to talk a little bit about what the Air Force is doing, and mostly to pay tribute to the tremendous folks, both in uniform and in the civilian workforce, who make it all possible. So thank you very much.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Aaron Connaughton, Undersecretary of the United States Air Force. My co-host from IBM has been John Bonglas. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.